Welcome back to Keeping Track. Hey everyone. Hi Alicia. We have some exciting announcements to make. Alicia, we're working on a little project, Keeping Track by Ant Mother. What do you want to announce today?
I won. Well, I'm just excited about this new series that we're doing, and that we're doing in a partnership with Keeping Track, which is really important for us to be able to help advance the media coverage for women in sports. And part of being a woman in sports as a female-bodied person can also include motherhood. And I'm just really happy to have these conversations that I feel like have been in siloed spaces for a really long time. And, we have these conversations on the phone, or we get into these conversations with other folks who are athletes and moms, and we start sharing all of these really incredible stories. And but we have our sort of echo chamber of the barriers that we face, the ways that we're breaking them down, the knowledge that we're learning from each other. And I just really feel like with already the work that, we've been doing with Keeping Track, having this space where we can really give runway to more in-depth conversations surrounding motherhood and professional sports will really help a lot of people, not just the athletes, but also, fans of the sports.
So we talked to our first guest today, McKenna Myler, and what I loved about the conversation was that we had time to go deep on her motherhood journey. And she had just run incredibly this whole season, but really at the Olympic marathon trials. And she'd done a lot of interviews around that, around her journey in the sport. And we love that. We want to touch on that. But like, I love that we're dedicating time to go deep on the motherhood journey, because that's when interesting things come out, helpful things come out, things that haven't really been talked about, maybe got edited out of other interviews, got edited out of long form interviews, can live. We can talk about that stuff. And we hope you find things you didn't even know you needed to hear as a mom in your career when you're listening to these conversations.
The other thing I also wanted to say about that, Molly, and what I think is really cool is that, it might be edited out of other podcasts. And what it also says to moms is like that part of your story isn't that important. And then it also creates this, historical and cyclical battle with like what we actually do need to know in order for us to thrive. So I just wanted to add that little two cents there. And I'm just happy that the moms that we're connecting with, get an opportunity to kind of ask us questions too. And we get to ask them questions like, things about breastfeeding and running, and how did you support your pelvic floor during and postpartum? How are things now? Like, what are some races that you think are doing a really good job in supporting, moms? What companies are doing a really good job supporting moms? So there's a lot to talk through, and I'm just really excited that I get to be doing this with you. Our journey has been in several different facets, and so I'm really excited that we're doing the sport and athlete journey together.
Likewise, and I think this will be an awesome series to enrich Keeping Track, just another facet of our supporting women in sports media and their stories, and where we want to. We've always, our mission has been we want to tell the stories that don't get told enough, and the motherhood stories are definitely in that category. So let's get rolling. I'm so excited.
Welcome to Keeping Track, the Mother's Lane. I'm your host, president and founder of Ann Mother, Alicia Montano, and in partnership with Keeping Track co-host and Ann Mother athlete advisor, Molly Huddle, we developed a new series where we talk to mom athletes about the barriers they face and the breakthroughs they are making to pursue their dreams in order to thrive in both their career and motherhood.
So come sit in on these in-depth conversations around the intersection between motherhood and sport in the Mother's Lane. Hey everyone, so we're talking to McKenna Myler. We're gonna put links up to her own website and to some other podcast interviews she's done recently where she goes into more of her background and her sports journey. But Cliff Notes bio here for McKenna before we dive deeper into her motherhood journey is, she graduated from BYU, where she was on the track and cross country teams. She's currently coached by Ryan Hall, living in Flagstaff, Arizona, with her partner and two kids, 3-year-old Lou and 1-year-old Wakefield. McKenna was recently seventh at the U.S. Olympic Trials Marathon with a huge PB of 2:26.
She came off of a 68-minute half PB in the Houston Half Marathon about a month before this. And despite having a somewhat rocky college career, was previously well known for running a sub 520 mile while 9 months pregnant, which is amazing from my perspective as someone who tried to run a quarter mile at that pace while pregnant. And also a side note, don't worry, that baby you hear crying in the background the first 3 minutes is mine, not yours. Enjoy.
Hey. Wow, I can't believe I'm on a call with you too. This is like
this is incredible. Superstar. You are a superstar. Okay. So, okay, McKenna, I am so thrilled to be on this call with you. You guys, we've got Molly Huddle and McKenna Myler on this call. The star of the show today is McKenna Myler, who just came off an incredible race at the US Olympic Trials, where you just absolutely crushed it. So, I mean, I'm kind of starting there because that's fair. But one, can you kind of just like tell us just about your experience leading up to it? Because this whole vertical for us is about keeping track of the moms in sports, and you kind of just went out there and you crushed it. But anyways, I want to kind of just go off of this last amazing accomplishment that you just had.
You're so sweet. My thought off of that is that it's so interesting, especially like while having kids, that our progress is just so, I mean, in the first place, like progress is never linear, right? Like there's always going to be those swirls and ups and downs. But then when you have like kids, it makes the progress seem like so much less linear. Like you think, you feel like you're taking like so many steps back. But like, when you like continue to like put in this like steady, consistent work, all of a sudden, you know, it kind of, it's like this compounding effect. My husband and I talk about a lot, where all of a sudden, like the results just start showing. And I feel like that's kind of what happened with this last year, where even, you know, like 6 months after where we ran McCurdy, I ran 2:31. It still like just wasn't quite clicking yet, even though like consistently I was like kind of doing the same work. And then what you guys got to see right toward the end, where it's like seems magical, is like kind of this like compounding effect just finally showing itself.
It's magical. It was so awesome. Just before this, Molly and I were talking about like you being what we hope for female athletes, like, you know, like there's ebbs and flows in how you get to some place you hope to get to. But like one of the parts that's been missing has been also this part that we're talking about with like motherhood. And it's like this thing where you're building on this thing. People don't see like the back end of other things that maybe happened that kind of could have been a glitch to the road. And then some part of it that could be a plan or could not be a plan is having a kid, and like what that looks like when you allow a female an opportunity to continue her career or her opportunities to pursue her career if you also support her holistically. And I kind of wanted to touch on some parts of that. Molly, like jump in at any moment here, but I'm just super excited to kind of just, I'm going to give one more quick question that I had is from a support standpoint. I know it's been very different from me running, you know, back in 2014 when I was pregnant with my first child and, you know, really having little to no support. It was super standard for contracts at that time to not support moms. And the only way for me to be like, hey guys, like, let's shake this up is to like show it from a very visible standpoint. So from what I'm seeing right now, I'm loving it. Like I'm thinking that there's more women that are being supported. And I just kind of want to know what your experience looked like.
Yeah. That's really, so first off, like both of you have been like, whatever you want to call it, my mood board, but like since forever, like on my radar, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, these women, especially like when you were pregnant running the 800, that was just like, amazing. But it is so, gosh, I had so many thoughts on like what you're saying, because it just starts like so far back. Like from the
take us there,
yeah, like from the holistic standpoint, right? Because when I like am like reflecting on my career and like how things are working out now and how things had been working for me in the beginning, like even from, you know, like high school on, like I feel like a huge part of having success now was like letting my body go through menstruation correctly. Mm. Like I wasn't like depriving my body, and I had a very like less than stellar like collegiate career. And mm. and I like wasn't like perfect about that either. I'm not saying that's like the road you should take, but I was lucky because I like erred on the side of like too much, I guess, mm-hmm. In the sense of like, allowing my body to gain weight, allowing my body to like really fortify itself, and then like diving into a ton of like strength training, because like running wasn't going so well for me. In college, I was always kind of in the weight room being like, well, this is going well for me. Like, so I'm going to lift more weight over here. And then I ended up spending a lot of time in there, which, in a sense was a little detrimental to my running because like I was fatiguing myself, like, cause I was going so hard in there. And
gains.
And, yeah. But then come pregnancy, right? Like people are like, how did you run like your whole way through pregnancy? And like, it's not just like what I was doing during pregnancy. Like you have to look at like the 5 years before that. Mm. I'm just like absolutely fortifying my pelvic floor, like my tendons and ligaments, muscle strength, like correct posture, all of that. Anyway, so that like from a holistic standpoint can go back like so far, right? That's like how to like truly support women. I think and like, not pushing the timeline, I guess, you could say, like that a man's timeline, right? Mm-hmm. Cause ours is just not the same. And then, you know, from like a, you know, supportive standpoint, from what, I mean, and Molly, you can jump in anytime too. Cause I know.
Yeah. Please.
Did you have any thoughts on that, Molly? Or
no, I think, like being strong as an endurance athlete is going to get you ahead. I think especially as a female endurance athlete, there's such an old school rhetoric of like, be smaller, be less, you know, like suppress your cycle. That's good. And obviously we know that's not it anymore, but just like some of those holdovers are just like totally still there, or like a lot of the other women in the race will be going through that. So it's almost like if you don't fall into those pitfalls, you're ahead. Yeah, definitely. That's a good thing to just normalize.
Yeah.
Fortify yourself. Think of it that way.
Yeah. And I think it's hard because like the reason they're still there is because like it is still a part of our sport. Like, right. Like you're still like maximizing like your strength to weight ratio in a sense. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's like that falls apart if none of your hormones like lining up with it. Right. But like, if you are addressing this like holistic side, then this like strength to weight ratio starts to come naturally. And like, that's just nothing that you need to force. Cause I think because on that side of things, Molly, like when I was in college, I feel like people were so scared. I was actually like, I would say like overweight. And like not even for a runner, just like a normal person, I was like a little bit overweight, and people were like so scared to like address diet with me because they were like scared I was going to develop an eating disorder. I was like, I know that I'm not like there's room for improvement here, you know?
Correct.
And like still on the opposite side of things, like there's still like a way of like treating your body right. And like I said, like the holistic view and that weight to the strength to weight ratio comes naturally. It's like, we just don't focus on the weight part, but does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. It totally makes sense. And you're like helping by, you know, developing some resources. I was looking online about some of the things that you are helping in order to kind of give some more information about that. And that I think it's kind of interesting what you mentioned about, how you can talk about nutrition and health and, you know, the pitfalls of what eating disorders could look like. It could be binge eating. It could be eating too little and like not really having a good space for folks to be able to just like talk to you about it. Cause if they mention something about you potentially overeating, or you talking about that, then maybe they're going to trigger an eating disorder. If you talk about you being too lean at some point in time, it's like, are you you know, thin shaming me. So it's like an interesting and very hard landscape to kind of walk through, especially when it comes to like raising young girls to women and like never really having that space for education on how we talk about it.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I don't want to make this like a whole nutritional podcast, but like a huge like step for me in that direction was like taking like morality like out of the food equation, where, you know, like people and people don't like do this on purpose. I think it's just kind of like ingrained in our culture a little bit where they're like, I'm so bad because I ate this. And it's like, no, of course you ate, like it's designed. It's literally designed for you to want it. And like, and even like when I talk to my daughter, like about the way she's eating food, it's like, I'm like, of course you want more mac and cheese. Like this food is like designed for you to want more. Like, but that's not going to make our bodies feel good. Like maybe let's try like a little more chicken here. And then like, we can have more mac and cheese. It's like constantly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being like, this is scientifically what's just like happening with your body. Yeah. What were you going to say?
Oh no. It's just like the buzzword is like whole, like everything, like life. It's like whole, like what do we need as like living, breathing beings? Like we need wholeness. Is it mentally we need to be whole? Is physically we need to be whole? From a nutritional component, we need wholeness. It's like that's just, you just sparked that thought of like, you know, we're talking about holistic, you know, I don't know, the whole person. So this just kind of brings us to Molly, I'm totally stealing show because we chatted about this beforehand and we said that this was going to happen. We were going to talk so much like blah, 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 and that was going to be the podcast. But like Molly brought up a really good point about like why we're having this chat with you and we're having this series, you know, keeping track of the moms in sports, because it's like the things that we want to know, the things that we kind of, you know, learn in our own sort of siloed experience, but then like we want to talk about it so people can hear, oh, here are your, you know, maybe your favorite athletes or maybe athletes you didn't know and how they were successful in doing the thing or where they had a pitfall in doing the thing. And like that's how we grow and that's how we, you know, create community to learn from one another. So I guess, yeah, Molly, did you want to hit some of the questions that you were thinking of?
Okay, so this isn't like that exciting of a question, but like what does your daily support network look like what would be a day in the life of McKenna when you go to train? Like, and I'm like, start from like overnight, because I know if your kids are waking up overnight, like do you go in, does your husband, do you have a strategy, like what does it look like to be you? Because I think it's important to show other women athletes that like you can be in your prime years, like you don't have to be 39. You can be in your 20s, in like the rising part of your career, doing the exciting stuff, and have not one but two kids. Like you have a family, like a legitimate family. But like, this is what we would love for women to feel like is possible. But I think we need to show more, because it's honestly not something that I saw a lot of athletes do, and I couldn't see a lot of the day to day. So what is a day like? And it doesn't mean it's optimal. That doesn't mean you don't need things. But like, what are you doing?
No, totally. No, that is a great question. And I'm like trying to think like how to answer that in a way. So, okay. First, I'm incredibly grateful for the support I have. So I'm really lucky because my husband, he works from home, and there's like pros and cons to that, right? Like, he doesn't because he's working from home, and he doesn't get like holidays off and stuff with like his startup business. So like I do get like a lot of flexibility, but also like we're constantly having to stick to the schedule. There's not really like days off. Noting that, we'll go back to like, also my other thought was like things change so quickly and so much. So like in the first couple months, right? Like I have the personality where I think I kind of like took on a lot, with like, if the baby woke up in the middle of the night, like I would go, like I was like full-time breastfeeding, still full-time breastfeeding. And
how old is your baby right now?
He's, he'll be 11 months like next week.
That's so great.
Yeah, it is so great. And it's like, it's hard because it's like, you don't want to be like, breastfeeding isn't like a reality for some people, right? And like babies are awesome, like we have a lot of like awesome options, but I know like also breastfeeding is a reality for a lot of women. And like you said, Molly, like there's a lot of like information people don't know and like are confused about. Like I remember thinking, I messaged like Stacey Sims. I don't think she messaged me back like on my first pregnancy. And I was like, am I going to get like injured? Am I going to like, but I'm like breastfeeding and running this much. I don't have my cycle. So like, what's happening? Like, I really want to know. Anyway,
I have so many more questions on breastfeeding.
So
I should wait or put them in now.
Hold on. We got so many questions that we like, wait
and come back to it.
I don't know. Throw it in the chat. No, this is it. I mean, McKenna, you're basically coming back on because we have so much to cover. I mean, so I guess, so you talked about the middle of the night. You are the one that's kind of supporting the middle of the night. It's not like you're because you're exclusively breastfeeding,
which all three of us know here is easier if you go in. It just sucks.
Totally. But yeah. Anyway, Molly and I both did the same thing. I rolled in too. So like that morning, the next morning, what does like McKenna look like? Are we wrecked? Are we like, what do we eat? Like, how are we feeling? Totally. Breastfeeding in the middle of the night? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's been like a little bit different. Okay. Oh, there's just so many like
points. There's so much.
Yeah. Let's go back to this though. So I think a huge like key thing, which Molly, I know you've like expressed, like having difficulty with this, is like we're super into like sleep training our kids. Cause I was like, we need the kids to sleep through the night, or like if I'm not getting sleep, I'm like putting at risk, you know? So that was like a huge, huge part of like getting our kids to sleep through the night by like 2 months, if not sooner.
Oh yeah, 12 hours by 12 weeks, baby.
Yeah, like, we are doing this, we're balling everything. And then like
loves that, but this is your experience.
Yeah, right. And that's and I know a lot of people like who co-sleep, and that's awesome. And like that's something that we did. And my husband was like a huge part of that. He was like so even though he was like I was fully like breastfeeding, he was in charge of like the like helping them fall back asleep, reswaddling. Mm-hmm. Changing diaper, like he did basically everything else. Cause I'm like, I'm just feeding, going back to bed. Like aren't you?
The vessel for nutrients. You do the other stuff.
Right. I'm like, I need to sleep. And that's like also like a huge part of recovery. And then sustainability is like that. I've always like joked. That's like one of my superpowers is I'm really good at sleeping. And people are like, what do you do for recovery? I'm like asleep. I'm a really good sleeper. I didn't get like a lot of anxiety. I think like, I know some moms deal with that, like during nap time or anything. I was just like, I was out. And then this time around, right, it's been a little bit different where I don't get to just pass out. Like I've got a toddler that I'm like hanging out with.
Yes.
So it did feel like a little bit longer. That's why like around 6 months, it was like, oh, I'm not feeling as good.
Did you have resources for like a babysitter or anything like that around you?
Right. So that implode. I did have like a cousin. It's always, you know what I mean? It's like, you look at these things and you're like, wow, I am like so fortunate like that I have this like connection, cause not everyone has like family next to them or, so I did have a cousin helping for a little bit, while we were in Utah, but then we moved to Flagstaff and then we had nobody. And that was tricky. I think that's just like, honestly, more, it's harder on my husband than me. Cause like, he's having to navigate balancing like my workout and his work.
Learn how to feed a baby with your toes. Pull the fork with it. There you go. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So does your husband do the childcare when you're working out? Like you bring the kids to the track type of thing, or how did that work?
He usually hangs here, which is like always like, yeah, what people in Flagstaff are like, have you ran this route yet? I'm like, nope, I'm just run out my front door. I don't get to do that. Like, and he'll
driving to run is like such a luxury. I'm like, who has 40 minutes to waste?
That's 20 minutes to waste. I'm like, I 10 minutes away, I can't go.
I'm like, I'm lucky this isn't a treadmill run right now.
totally. So it was like a lot of, I remember, okay. So like with my first kid with Lou, it was like, I felt like if I didn't feed her on time, she was going to die. Like, it was that feeling.
Oh, no, totally.
I was like, I have minutes. If people try to talk to me, I was like, can't talk. Like, I've got to go, go, go.
I gotta go.
And this time I've been like a little more relaxed and realizing like they don't need to eat right away if they're screaming. Like, it's okay. Like, it was helpful for them. Like, and not that he's screaming, but he more just starts crying when he sees me. Right. Like, he's fully fine. And then you guys know, like, as soon as they see me, like,
just now, different. Yeah.
Like, you have to eat. And so working through that is, there's just so much to talk about with this. Cause like going,
we don't have to go through it all. I'm just trying to give glimmers of like,
totally.
What do you do? Or even like, if you can think of like, what would really help, like what's something that would really help or that you didn't have.
Yeah. Right. Mm. Like, and I think a nanny, especially like as an athlete, like as our it's changing so much. So we just tried to put Lou into like preschool and it's just like, not.
How old is Lou now?
She's 3.
Yay.
Yeah. Don't you have a 3-year-old?
Yes, yeah. I do. That's why I was like, fun times. They are funny. So, they run the show. You know?
Oh my gosh. Yes. The talk back right now is incredible.
100%.
They want to use like the like never and hate a lot right now.
So yeah.
Express,
I think ours would literally get along because mine says never to never. Hey, can you come over here? Never. He's gonna drop you. And you're like, whoa.
I just tries
to use their words to like kind of hurt you a little bit. Like, what does it do if I tell you you're the worst ever? And you're like, really? Am I?
You are not the best mom. And I'm like, okay, like, I know that.
You're like, you gave me a mug that said I was. Cannot
do
that.
Right. So it's like because you didn't let them like eat dirt or something, you know?
And I'm like, Lou, you have to be more specific. I'm like, it's not nice to tell people they're not good at something. Like, tell me what I could do better. And so like, you need to be more patient with me. I'm like, okay.
Hey, okay.
Yes.
Not bad advice.
They're brilliant.
Yeah, they're brilliant. That's hilarious.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it just hasn't been working. And so having a nanny, I feel like is really clutch. Like, it's like really helpful to have someone who has like mornings who can come over kind of flexibly. What's that a word?
Takes dollar bills for that, right?
Right. Takes a lot more money. Yeah.
Yeah. So many sides of the coin to this. It's kind of like, you know, with his in partnership with Ann Mother, this podcast and why we created the Changemaker grants. It's like we recognize there is a huge gap on how, like, one, you make money and then putting it all out to for childcare in order to like go and do the job. But it's like I'm trying to actually make the money to like fuel my life, but I'm needing to also have access to affordable childcare. What can we do to like meet that little gap there? So I mean, and McKenna, you know, you've been a recipient of the Changemaker Grant 2022 and again this year, woo woo, 2024. Just like from that perspective, like what does that mean for you? Like how does it help support, you know, your family?
Right. And so like going back to what this topic that we're talking about with childcare, like there's a lot of anxiety even with sending someone who like is not your partner.
Like 100%.
So, yeah. And so I'm always like clinging. I'm like, please just like take an hour off of work so that like you can hang with them. I don't want to send them like to someone else. But it makes like a huge difference to have like that extra, like even like a couple grand that is putting towards someone that you know, that you bet that like can come help you with like flexible hours, which is actually what we're going to be looking into now because we're traveling so much too, like
we're going
from altitude to sea level. And
I mean, that's it, right?
Yeah.
It's even that second hand, like some folks feel like just more comfortable still being there, but having the second hand, you know, and being able to bring that in, it doesn't always have to be like, you know, a complete separation. So say if it was your husband at home and that feels safer to you or like closer to your heart with like anxiety, but having a second hand there to kind of help with the grab him out of the room. Cause you're not able to grab him out of the room when he's on the Zoom, you know, those sort of things. And then the other part is like, having some support to, like you said, going to a training camp and can we fly the family to help support me, because that makes me feel supported if I can do that. Like, if you know,
can I even talk about that story actually? ASICS had me out to New York, and they paid for my sister to come out as well, because I was like,
yeah,
cool. Now what I cost. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I can't bring my 6-month-old and then like you expect me to do these runs and stuff with people. And they're like so gracious, so easy. Like working with ASICS has been they've been really on top of that.
Learned a little bit.
Yeah.
Down the line.
Yeah, that's such a good point that a couple years, like you need to probably a lot of the time travel in a group of like three or four. Like it's gonna be the kids and you and whoever's helping for you to do your job.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is,
and I want to lean more into like folks that have learned and that are doing like, okay, we get it. That's part of like having these conversations. If we really never shared our experiences, if we didn't really share what we needed, or we did and we had a bad apple that really made it hard for anybody to feel like I can share this again, you know, it ultimately doesn't help like the next generation. So like being able to talk about this right now, say how different it is from what it has been in the past, I think is really helpful, because say another, you know, partner or sponsorship or a sponsor or athlete is listening and saying, I can ask for that. I can ask for that. And I can lean on McKenna as an example for like, look at how this supported her career. Look at how it supported her performance. Yeah, I'm just saying all that to say, like,
no, I love that.
Yay, thumbs up.
Like when I was pregnant with my first child, like I was literally just looking up like articles about like Kara Goucher and like Gwen Jorgensen and how much they were running and like how they were supported. Like, and even just like, yeah, how much women even made. Like, I had no idea. Like, you know,
we have work to do there.
Yeah. Yes. Like there's still definitely work to do there. So anyway, I appreciate I'm glad we're having these conversations. We get to like bring these things.
Okay. I'm going to circle back for a 2-minute version of my breastfeeding questions, cause I don't want you to go too over.
No, let's talk about breastfeeding.
And then we can go to our final question. So how long did you breastfeed Lou, and how do you plan to breastfeed now, or do you,
So, okay.
And what was your breastfeeding schedule?
Yeah. So like
we have questions.
I'm an open book. Like, so you can ask me anything. So with Lou, in the beginning for both of them, it's kind of like that like 2 to 3 hour schedule, right? Where you're kind of just like feeding on demand somewhat. But then they start getting like food by 6 months. So you're not just breastfeeding. At least for me. So yeah, I'm realizing some people might just continue to breastfeed solely. That's great. That is like really helpful. You like start to see like this, you're not as tired like when they get to eat real foods, because you're not supplying as much. Yeah. There's definitely like a jump in fitness there. And So now I'm on a schedule. So around from like the 6th to like now, pretty much, which is like 10, 11 months, I'm feeding like to sleep and to wait when they wake up. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much just like when he wakes up in the morning, before his first nap, after his first nap, before a second nap, after a second nap, and then before he goes to bed. And then I think the first feeding, I kind of like starts to drift off. Depending, right, is like after the second nap, because you're eating dinner. Mm. It's like a more sustainable meal, that like a more filling meal. And honestly, I also put this note in. I'm like super lazy. I hate like cleaning up and feeding them real food. I'd way rather just breastfeed. You should have all the food there.
No dishes.
Dishes. The mess they make when they're just throwing food. You're like, what are you doing?
So you're not pumping anymore at this point. You're just feeding.
Yeah. So I have only pumped. So we didn't do this with my first one, but we did this with Wakefield, and I got this from Kellen, because like Kellen Taylor did it. And I was like, okay, I can do this. Like, I can do this. Because the Twin Cities Marathon was canceled. So we like took the kids with us, and it was so like Wakefield is like the happiest, easiest baby. And he was the worst baby ever going to that marathon. And it was exhausting. And I was like, I can't turn around and go to New York with this baby. So I was like, I'm just going to pump and we're going to just order formula real quick. He's going to take formula while I'm gone for these like 2 days. I'm going to go run this marathon and come back. And so then we kind of did that same thing for the for Houston and the trials, where I was like, I'm just going to make it like a business trip. But with the trials, they were out there with me, but then on like Friday, I did end up feeding him, but the plan was like, I'll just pump and Mike can take him and feed him. And honestly, so he was like really easy in that sense. Like Lou did not take a bottle. So like, I don't know if that would have been an option. Yeah. but he's like, doesn't care. And he'll come back and breastfeed again. Cause I breastfed Lou for a year and like 4 months, okay. But I think I'm going to drop breastfeeding. I want to, but it's so hard. Yes, you
so
know.
You, have you been breastfeeding this whole time with the way your kids lined up? Like, did you ever get a break or?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, I did. I had like 9 months in there.
Okay. Did they have a place to pump at the trials? I didn't notice.
Yes. Do you guys want to hear that story?
Yeah.
Sorry, I do. Alicia, okay. This sorry. Is what we want.
I know you're running out of time, but this is like, this is stuff I want to know.
This is the stuff I want to know too. And I love the whole part. My kids, my second and my third, I mean, part of this like is having a conversation, people hearing us talk about it, right? Because we all did it. But my second and my third also didn't take a bottle, and I fought with Aster in the middle one, and he, you know, for like a little bit, and then I was like, I quit. So by the third time, and it was pandemic and everything like that, he was just like, Che-che. I was like, sure, whatever, here you go. But anyways, I want to hear your trial story about lactation accommodations there.
So tell us about it. And I never pump. So I have this like really janky pump that like plugs into the wall, like for my first pregnancy. So it's not like you can take it anywhere. I'm like, so I brought it just in case there would be like electrical output. And since it was such a late start, I had already pumped like twice that morning. Because I was like, I'm trying to get it out, which I have like fake science theories like that I don't know. I'm like, is it good to get it out? Or like, do you want to not? Because then you're wasting energy for your body. It's like trying to keep up.
These are things I think about too. I'm like, is oxytocin bad in my body before a race? Or like, anyway, keep going.
Is it that much extra weight? Like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, totally. So, but I was like, I'm just going to try to like get it out and we'll see what happens. Which my mom, like during the race, she was like, her boobs are getting bigger every lap. But anyway, so I got on the bus that morning with my pump and I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to pump again. And they wanted us there like 2 hours before. And then it's like a 2.5 hour race. So you're like, that's a long time to go without like, releasing any milk. And these two girls happened to sit right in front of me and they were talking about their kids. And we got to talking and I was telling them about my like janky pump. And one of the girls was like, you can totally use my pump if you want. And I was like, this is motherhood.
this is totally motherhood.
And so I wasn't going to really take her up on it. I was like, that was really sweet of you, but like, we'll just see. And it like came time to like start warming up. I think I had like 5 minutes until I was going to go warm up. And she came over and she's like, do you want to use my pump? Like there's a couple of us over in the mother's room. And I was like, you know what? I was like, yeah, I'm going to take you up on that. And so I went over to the mother's room and we had this like pumping session that was like all of us just chatting. And they were all so adorable. They had like,
I love that.
Yeah. Like it was just this like private little room that they had cut off.
How close was it to the start line? How convenient was it for you for warm up?
Right. So I cut into my warm up a little bit. I ended up, which I was like, it's fine. I don't need to warm up that much.
Yeah, luckily for the marathon, you're kind of like 5 minutes.
I was like,
but for track, that'd be stressful because you kind of gotta. Mm-hmm. Like,
but the thing that's nice about track is you are racing at night, so you're like out kind of already
for you guys.
Yeah, that's true.
For you longer distance folks.
Yeah, but the morning races are tricky. Like with McCurdy, I was very full at McCurdy.
So it was pretty good. How many folks were in the mother's room at trials?
There were four of us. So, and there
kudos.
We all had like, there was like a 4-month-old, one girl had a 6-month-old, and I think the other girl had a 9-month-old, and they were all like it was just fun. I was like, oh, first time moms are so great. Like,
oh my gosh.
About, I think it's great. It's like, you should be concerned about all the
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. From a feeling perspective. Okay. Cause you know, your girl's a seasoned marathoner. Just kidding. like, how did you change up what you were doing on the course to support your breastfeeding? Did you, or did you just go with your normal fueling plan? How did you navigate that?
I know. So that's actually interesting. And I was actually asking some of those moms if they've experienced it, but they like, it's hard because not everyone is like starting to run again as like soon as I did, or mm-hmm. it's like training as mm-hmm. hard as I was training. Right. Cause I was asking them, like, I'm like, do you guys notice? Cause I actually notice that I'm more full and like, I'm not like depleted at all after a long run. Molly, have you noticed this, or have either of you noticed this? Like where after speed sessions, I do feel more depleted. Mm-hmm. Your body is really efficient. Like if you're taking in, I don't feel like I changed. I mean, I'm not a seasoned marathoner. So like, mm-hmm. I didn't really have a plan anyway with marathoning. So this has been like all I've known with marathoning mm-hmm. is like mm-hmm. really. And it seems like when I take in stuff, like my body is using it.
I think mm-hmm. like we always take, or I always try to take stuff during my long runs, like practice mm-hmm. what I'm going to take on the course. So I feel like I actually get less depleted from, cause I'm actually taking drinks every and sugar every 30 minutes.
Yes.
And then in the longer workouts, I don't tend to do that. So I kind of noticed that too, but I wonder if that's why, cause my yeah. blood sugar would kind of be like a little bit weird the first 6 months too. Okay. So
yeah,
definitely something to think yeah. about.
Yeah. And yeah. I will say also too, I am like a little more nervous and skeptical of ingredients like that I'm like putting in my body. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, like even like in the first 6 months, it's like, I'm not taking any like processed protein because that like really sets my baby's stomach. And maybe
you're
a little bit, have you guys noticed that at all with your kids? Or
my daughter,
I mean, in general,
like, yeah. my daughter yeah. eats like packaged turkey. Like it's her job. She just eats like turkey slices all day. Yeah. I'm like, this is not good for you, but it's all you're eating.
I think my light keeps turning off, but anyways, I think the big point here is that like, you're not just thinking about fueling for yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, or somebody else's digestive system, or like, you know, it's like, oh, if I eat this,
your body's not yours. It's not fully yours for a yeah. while. Like, correct. Like I'm still kind of like, I mean, we're still breastfeeding. I can't get yeah, off this yeah. ride at the moment. Like, where's yeah. the exit?
I know.
This ride. So I'm just like, I still have to be like, I can't really drink a lot or a certain time. Yeah. Like, it's just your body still isn't, but you're still trying to go yeah. do this with it. You know, you're still trying to go out there and perform, and you need the caffeine and you need
yeah.
all the stuff.
All the things. Yeah. So I guess like, as we, yeah, are just all the things that we need to come back around to is like, if there were additional resources that are needed for the work that you've done in terms of just like doing it, what yeah. would you want to see in the future that would better support, mom athletes, you know, or, and their families, like, what would you want to see there? And like, I guess on the other side is like, what have you seen that has been so helpful? Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, like my base is definitely like coming from like a co-parenting standpoint, right? And like mm-hmm. how much like my husband, like we co-parent, there's no, like you're in charge of this really. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I'm in charge of like breastfeeding. Right. But like,
you're in charge of that. Yeah.
And the household, like we take on like very equal tasks.
Yeah.
Like I don't, and if anything, like he ends up like cooking more, right? Because I'm like,
yeah.
But, and so I think like kind of coming from like, if you don't have access to that, because I know some people who it's like their husbands are doctors and they're gone like for mm-hmm. hours a day. It's like kind of trying yeah. to mimic that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's really helpful. And I've seen like someone came up with the idea that I thought was really good is like trying to find like some type of app that like connects us, like with mothers and like trade in like some sense. And you know, like, which is like really helpful. But yeah, I can't say that I've come up with like anything like super creative in the sense of like what people need, like outside of like having like a basically a nanny or like some type of system where like their kids walk. But yeah.
Childcare stipends, things like that.
Yeah, but childcare stipends, right? That's going to work differently for different people. It's a big deal. And it's like you said, like even just from the standpoint of like, okay, I'm just making enough money basically to not be broke.
Basically, that, keeping the lights on. Yeah, right. What's like, going in is going out. Yep.
All the money is just going to like what it takes to like support this, right?
Feed the dream.
What are enjoying doing.
So I love this.
I wish I had more to say on that. I'll think about it like more and maybe we can talk about that more. because I've heard like some really good ideas from you guys too as well.
I would love to add, does anyone know how to like add a message board to a website? We could add like a mom message board for all the connection, and then you could like private message later.
Let's figure it out.
Some kind of
even in Flagstaff, like there's a lot of moms right now, and I'm like, how are we not all like doing the same thing with our kids? Like but I don't know, it's
and tricky. I know daycare is hard because you don't want to be sick for your races, like that's why we avoided daycare the first year 2 years.
So that's why daycare hasn't been working for us. We're like, we're pulling her out anyway when we are there because we're like, you can't get sick.
Well, thanks so much, McKenna. This has been so great. I could talk for hours. I kind of want to do a spin-off podcast just about breastfeeding.
Fascinating. And I have so much more to tell you
from
about
Molly's Milk Podcast.
You're coming back around. We have to keep going. We'll just do like specifically, all right, we're back on about liquid gold. You know, what are we learning from each other? I feel like we just need to have regular conversations, round tables on just this specifically, develop resources, put it on, you know, we can use Ann Mother as a website.
Because I just want people to absorb this as normal. Like, this is normalized. This is how it looks. This is how they're doing it. So McKenna, we thought you were a great person to talk to, and you're killing it, and you're inspiring
story.
You're
doing amazing.
So keep it up. And where can we can follow you? At Ben's McKenna's on Instagram. And what's your blogs?
McKenna Myler.
McKenna Myler.
Oh my gosh, I look forward to that. I was screenshotting some stuff on when you were talking about, you know, ovulation and like your training, and I was like, oh yes. Let me do better with that. So anyways, we've got McKenna Myler. Thank you so much for popping on. Great job at the marathon Olympic trials, you know, this last February, dropping 5 minutes and 45 seconds. That's pretty amazing. And, you know, having a child under a year old and two under, you know, three and under is incredible. So keep up the good work, and we look forward to supporting you. Thank you so much for keeping track.
Guys.
Thanks, McKenna.
Keep track. Keep track. Keep track. Keep track. One time. Yeah. Keep track. Keep track. One time. Yeah. Keep track. You already know the track.
La, 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 red leather, yellow.
I was just going to say red leather, yellow leather.
Okay. I feel like you right now, by the way, because I never have nails, and I was like, Molly's gonna love my nails make noises now.
I do like that. Did you get like tips on them?
I didn't. I did gel, so it looks like gel. Yeah.
I'm like recovering from gel. My nails are horrendous right now.
Oh no. Now I'm talking junk. You better listen to us.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.